do find some evidence that 25D can reduce inflammation during the acute phase, which may involve in the COX-C replication or survival during that period of time, and also later promoting certain immune response to enhance recovery. That maybe explain why the lesion in the cica be reduced, and we see the COX-C status be improved by using 25D.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
AcuGut C.1 is a proven solution for your coccidiosis toolbox. Give those traditional tools a break and rotate to AcuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/AcuGut to learn more. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost poultry health and performance. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. Sid Lines, an eco-lab company, AV Prime program offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene on your farm or hatchery.
Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Doug Corver, and I'm dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the poultry industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. If you find this episode interesting, please let us know by visiting our website at wisenetics.com. Our guest today is Dr. Sean Chen. Sean is an assistant professor of poultry nutrition and extension at the University of Georgia in the Department of Poultry Science. So welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, it's good to interact with you. We've emailed back and forth a lot over the years and had some communication, but it's nice to sit down with you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your career path in poultry nutrition? How did you start? How did you get to where you are now?
Yeah. I grew up in China. I was born over there. My whole family is farmers, so we grew rice to grow up. I'm never away from agriculture in my life. But when I start my college, I start with vet. I was trained as a veterinary. But during my second year of my career, I started working with chickens, mostly on the gut health challenge in the farming chicken. So since then, I start working more and more with chicken. And then I came to the U.S. in 2014 and started my PhD in the same department I'm working right now, working on the poultry nutrition. That's also the story started with vitamin D, because my entire PhD is working on the vitamin D and its metabolites on laying hen. And also we dive into the molecular response, embryo, and the cells. After that, I got a postdoc in the same lab, same department, working with Dr. Wu Kim, who is also was my PhD supervisor, continuously working on the bone health related challenge in poultry. And then right after, I was hired by the NC State. So by the time I switched my career a little bit into more like a health field, I was working with a turkey parasite for like 2 years with a focus on the bloodhead disease, also called Hismonas. It's been a really fantastic 2 years over there, working with turkeys. Completely different animal compared to the chicken that we thought. But later I was hired by the UGA Poultry Science, the same department. I got my PhD 3 years ago. I switched my gear again back to the poultry nutrition world. But with all the experience I have, it's really changed my mindset when I look at nutrition, with how to think of birds as a whole, considering the nutrition, the health at the same time to really improve the production and the profit for the producers. So I've been here for 3 years with UGA, continues to work on the poultry nutrition and get back on the research on the general nutrition as well as vitamin D broilers and the stress situation.
Resistance affecting your coccidiosis program? AcuGut C.1 is a proven tool for your coccidiosis toolbox. AcuGut C.1 is a phytogenic formulated for poultry with plant-derived substances, including essential oils, herbs, spices, and plant extracts. Reduce the reliance on chemical coccidiostats or ionophores to build cost-effective rotation and shuttle programs. Give your traditional tools a break and rotate to AcuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/acugut to learn more.
And in a relatively short time at University of Georgia, you've built up a very active lab with a lot of students. So what's your approach to graduate student mentorship?
Yeah, our group is very diverse and also very interesting group. We have most of the students has industrial experience, then come back to the academia to, you know, further educating themselves. I feel I'm learning from students as well. It's more like we're learning from each other because they bring a lot of industrial experience and perspective back to the lab. So right now we have a pretty diverse approach in terms of a research and extension. It's also because of a industrial need. Whatever the producer approach saying, we have a certain challenge we want to solve, then we start developing a program for it. So right now, the major focus for me is, and also for the lab, is to understanding the feed formulation, fundamental nutrition, especially the energy and amino acid interaction on the broader performance and economics. And meanwhile, we're also dealing with the gut health challenge related under the heat stress situation, Coxey challenge, along with the Hasmonas in broader breeders as well. And also we have a educational program being developed in the lab, including the poultry nutrition newsletter. And we also have a poultry nutrition 101 course for general public to providing the fundamental nutrition knowledge for everyone. So really looking forward to that as well. So talk about the whole mentor with a student alive. We're really working not necessarily like a lab, it's more like a team to really move forward on the research and the extension.
Yeah, and there's been some great stuff coming out of your group, so well done.
Oh, thank you.
You mentioned a research interest in vitamin D in poultry. Can you give a brief overview, just a short summary of vitamin D metabolism in poultry?
Yeah, sure. Vitamin D is very interesting vitamin. It has been really extensively studied, especially in the human side. So, vitamin D can be obtained from the synthesized under UV light, and also can be provided from the diet. So, when the birds consume the diets containing vitamin D, first it will be converted in the liver to become a 25-hydroxy vitamin D, and then mainly in the kidney to become a 125-hydroxy vitamin D, which is a bioactive form of vitamin D. Then this vitamin D can execute many functions, including the well-known, bone health promoting functions, immune regulatory function, as well as a calcium phosphorus metabolism function. One thing I said mainly in the kidney be converted to the 125D because we also see the evidence this conversion can happen in many other tissues as well, but the majority of metabolism is happening in the kidney. I also want to point something really interesting about this one. Maybe people may overlook about this whole metabolism is 125 hydroxy vitamin D is very tightly regulated on the production side. If you have too much 125D in the system, it will increase the activation of the 125 into 124-25 or have a negative feedback on the 125 production. So the level of 125 in the system is very stable unless some health challenge or extreme situation may cause deficiency, making 125 become limiting factors for the health. So vitamin D in general is really like, tightly regulated, is really like insurance for the birds to maintain, the levels in the body.
So your research is primarily focused on one metabolite, 25-hydroxyvitamin D3. Why are you looking at that metabolite in particular?
Yeah, so 25 vitamin D is a secondary metabolite for vitamin D, has a higher bioefficiency because it's escaped the first conversion in the liver to become that form. And we have many commercial products available on the market, which is making using that become available. On research standpoint, we use 125 sometimes because give us the ability to study the vitamin D function directly on the cells, embryo, and birds directly. And 25D supplement also have a many advantage in terms of providing additional vitamin D resources by higher bioavailability on the absorption side, but also more active and, you know, you can simulate higher dosage on the circulating 25D to maintain that high vitamin D level at a different, you know, situation. We're also seeing the, you know, benefit impact in general on the bone health performance and also immune regulatory functions as well. Yeah.
So earlier you mentioned it has a role in embryo metabolism and development. Can you talk a little bit about your research in that area?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's really like a fun project to do, actually. I want to back up a little bit on the sales part because that's how the whole story started. One thing I want to point out, when we talk about vitamin D promoting the bone health, actually the function how the vitamin D improve the bone health is not really to promoting the bone formation. It's actually mostly through reducing the bone resorption or balance this whole process. So one of the interests for me is trying to understanding how vitamin D really impacts on the bone development and the formation side of it. So we can actually have some tools on this part, which is using one of the cells. It's called the mesenchymal stem cells. These cells can differentiate into osteoblast, which is the bone formating cells. So with this cell culture system, we can treat in the bone formation cells directly to understanding how they impact on the bone formation, right? From that research, you know, long story short, we actually see a really interesting response that vitamin D inhibits bone formation during the early stage, but promoting bone formation during the later stage, which is very interesting for me because we may think, you know, it's great for the bones. We're going to have all the, you know, beneficial impact on bone formation, but actually it's not happened that way. This kind of inconsistency has been seen in all species, not only in poultry. That's made me think about, like, you know, what is happening. So one thing we noticed that it's only osteoblasts, right? The bone formation system, we're missing a big chunk of a bone resorption process along with it. So there's some gap out there from what we're seeing on the research. But it's also, we're looking at the whole bone remodeling process. You will notice that the whole process is more like in general, the bone osteoclast, which is the bone resorption cells, come in to make the surface ready or resolve certain, you know, particles during the bone fracture or bone resorption to prepare the osteoblast, which is the bone formation cells, to rebuild the surface and to promote the whole bone remodeling process. So if you treat with vitamin D, you will think about you want to stimulating the osteoclast first, and then have a gap before you're activating the osteoblast to formating the bones. So it seems like vitamin D creating this kind of time interval to better facilitate the whole process. That's one of the bold hypotheses we have from the cell standpoint, saying the vitamin D actually is more complex. It's really more like regulating this whole process on the bone formation and bone resorption, other than just simply promoting or inhibiting each of the process, but also the limiting on the one cell system push out to move to the whole embryo study, we can see more like systematic, you know, response on the embryo. But from that standpoint, we're actually again seeing some interesting feedback. If you inject a 25D on embryo day 3 into the blood vessel, and then what you will observe is increasing on the bone development side and also promoting the adipogenesis, which is a fat development. However, we see really interesting feedback on inhibiting the muscle development in the embryo level, which is very interesting, but I have to notice that these results are from a gene expression. It's not necessarily representing the whole, you know, pictures on the protein side or the function side. One of the reasons for that may be because a trade-off on the cell development, because all muscle, fat, and bone formation cells like osteoblasts come from the same type of stem cells, which is mesenchymal stem cells. So if you promoting certain functions, that's maybe inhibiting another function. So that's maybe kind of a trade-off happening on the embryo level. Yeah,
that's interesting. And then particularly looking at the impacts as the embryo develops and hatches and the chick grows, there's a lot of potential there. What about in adult birds? So in laying hens, how does 25-hydroxyD3 impact bone health, productivity, egg production, egg shell quality?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. When I was doing my PhD project, working with Dr. Wu Kim, you know, along the cell culture and embryo studies all happened during that period of time. We did a really long trial to testing, you know, commercial available 25D on the laying hen bone health and production in long term. So the trial lasted from day zero to 25 weeks, really long trial, but very interesting. So in general, what we see on that trial and also from the literature as well, 25D definitely show impact on the bone health in general. And also we see a really interesting response during the pullet period. 25D can induce a bigger structure of the pullet bones, which gave a lot of space for mirror deposition and turnover during the laying period. And consequently, we see the improvement on the egg production and eggshell quality. These egg production and eggshell quality are mainly shown in the early stage, like before 60 weeks. But after 60 weeks, the response becomes a little bit inconsistent, which can be many reasons. You know, first of all, the whole when the laying hen getting older, the metabolism of the nutrients are become inconsistent. So maybe that's other limiting factor kick in. And also the change on the whole function for the older birds makes the feedback become like inconsistent. We have a higher variation on the feedback as well. That's may changing or masking the some impact we may see from the 25D. Yeah. But the whole research really highlighting the importance of using 25D during the pullet period, and it's a, you know, prolonged impact on the production later, and also long-term supplementation may benefit on the egg production and shell quality in laying hens. Yeah.
Yeah, I think as the industry is moving more and more towards extended laying cycles, that pullet phase becomes really important in making sure we're getting everything right in the pullet phase before the egg production even starts.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, you know, when the birds start laying eggs, the whole structure bone start development. They turn into a different phase to put a more malleable bone inside the bone, which is a calcium source for the eggshell formation. So building a good structure before they start laying is really important. Again, from that research, we do see the 25D increase the structure size before the laying. That gave a more capacity for the mineral metabolism or holding capacity during the laying period, and you know, have more benefit impact on the egg production, the shell quality set as well.
So you mentioned embryological development, you mentioned laying hens. What about in broilers? What's some of the research you've done in broilers in this regard?
Broiler side is also very interesting. And as I mentioned, 25D, I mean, vitamin D in general is being tight regulated in the birds. However, the situation can be changed when the birds are in stress or challenge. So since I got UGA, we did do a bunch of trial on the 25D on broiler performance and health in general, especially under the heat stress situation or coccy challenge. So some of the things we see from there, again, very interesting. We see a very consistent response on the bone health and the performance during the early stage, around like 28 days. We see the promotive impact on the performance and the bone health. During the later stage, sometimes we see a good result on the performance, but sometimes we don't really see that. It's again, can be the variation or can be the birds growing really fast to catch up. And also one of the trial we did on the coccy challenge, which is actually the birds being vaccinated with the coccy and then challenge at a day 14, I want to see if the vitamin D, 25D in general, actually can promoting the vaccination impact and better protecting the birds against the coccyx challenge and how the impact on all our performance. Very interesting, we see again bone health being improved. And also we don't see much on the growth performance side of it. You know, it's always hit and miss, but we also see some tendency on the promoting the muscle composition, especially the breast muscle. Most interesting part that we do see reduction on the Sika lesion with the Tanana lesion after the coccyx challenge. While we're looking into the immune response on that side of it, we do find some evidence that 25D can reduce inflammation during the acute phase, which may involve in the coccyx replication or survival during that period of time, and also you know, later promoting certain immune response to enhance recovery. That's maybe explain why the lesion in the Sika being reduced and we see the coccyx status be improved by using 25D. That's essentially really interesting part of it that people may not looking into a lot, how the vitamin D impact on the immune response side of it.
If you're enjoying this episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends and family. You can also set notifications to on from our channel so that you don't miss any upcoming episodes. Please feel free to leave us your comments at any time. Your feedback is important to us. Sean, what are some of the differences between 25-hydroxy-D3 and vitamin D when it comes to the dosage that we provide in the feed or the timing? You talked a little bit about that. Can you give more details?
I remember Dr. Mac Persa was presenting the NRC update on the vitamin mineral side. Unfortunately, really, we don't have a lot of a fundamental study to understanding the, you know, the requirement for vitamins in general, which also including the vitamin D3. So the dosage on the book, you know, is very low right now, but we use much higher dosage in the production at this moment. So one of the thought I have is, you know, for vitamin D requirements in general, we're using the same dosage from beginning to the end. Should we revisit that to see if a bird has a different requirement during different stage? Actually, the newest Brazilian table shows the vitamin D dosage is decreasing from the recommendation when the bird's getting older. That makes sense to me considering the feed consumption getting higher, but also considering the ability of a bird using vitamin D throughout their life. You know, back to the trial, research trial we're seeing that we see most of promotional impact during the early stage, which makes sense because the birds have a limited ability to using the lipid. Vitamin D is a fat soluble, you know, vitamins. Providing additional 25D or vitamin D can be beneficial for the birds and we'll also see the response. But along the line, how we're utilizing 25D in long term, we haven't really do much on that or trying a lot of a different dosage on it. We know the birds can handle vitamin D really well. The highest dosage I was seeing from literature, like 200,000 for a short period of time, they're still fine with it. But for the 25D, higher dosage do shows a benefit impact, but we haven't really exploring what is the toxic level on the 25D since the more bioactive. So, and how to utilize in long term, especially for the laying hen, since 25D is not something really cheap, right? We want to reach the best economic response for the birds. When to use it and how to use it can be a question, especially for the older laying hens when all the nutrition metabolism is changing, how to use in 25D to help them to maintain the production and the health for the production is also, you know, kind of understudied from the current research resource. Yeah.
So from a commercial standpoint, what are your thoughts on using 25-hydroxy-D3 either in addition to vitamin D or as a partial replacement or a complete replacement? What advice do you have for producers?
Yeah, that's a big question. At first, I don't have a lot of commercial production experience. So most of the knowledge I learned is from other, you know, nutritionist friends or from my own research and through the reading. Definitely, using higher bioactive vitamin D is beneficial, especially most of the commercial birds are in certain type of challenge. You know, no matter what, either from the vaccines, the gut health challenge. So 25D is more active can definitely give an insurance for the production, especially considering their immune response. For the brothers, adding on the top, on the feet, or as a part of a premix, I know that's a, like DSM has a premix, which already put a 25D in it as part of it. But for the ones don't have it, you can add on top. That's the most research has been done to evaluating 25D as additional resources, the additional vitamin D source on the diet, which also shows a lot of positive feedback. For the laying hen, it's become a little bit more complex. But one thing I really recommend, if it's possible, if it's economically feasible for the producers, is really using that during the pullet period to help the birds building a strong bone before they start laying eggs. That's going to help in the long term, from the theory standpoint, also some of the data we're seeing from research side, that's going to help. And also during the laying hen period of time, since it's a really long production, you may think about like when to use it, especially during the challenge condition, like the heat stress situation, or maybe when they have a, changing on the requirement, or you see the production drop, that's maybe the point you want to think about how to optimizing vitamin D in the diet to reverse that situation. Using it through the entire production, it really depends on how much it's cost and how much feedback you can get. We don't really have a lot of data available to see that part. Yeah.
As you've carried out this research, what are some of the challenges that you've encountered as it relates to 25-hydroxy-D3 research or the field in general?
Yeah, 25-D research challenge is one thing's like, if we talk about applied research, we have a great resources and support to do things and a lot of tools in evaluating how they impact on the performance bone health. I don't think we have a lot of challenge on that part, but we do missing a gap on understanding the immune regulatory function of vitamin D on the birds, especially we have a antibiotic-free production that's a more challenge for the birds than before. Vitamin D or 25D play a role in it. On the fundamental research side of it, I have to say a lot of knowledge for vitamin D we get today still majorly from other animal species or the human side of it. But chicken is very different, especially for the laying hen. The whole eggshell formation process is can be different than any other mammal. That makes the whole calcium metabolism and vitamin D much more complex than other animal species. But unfortunately, we're missing a lot of tools for these fundamental research. We're even missing a certain enzymes like genes sequencing to understanding the metabolism of 25D. For example, like 1-alpha hydroxylase, which is the enzyme converting 25D to 125D, very important enzyme, a very important part of our story, but we don't even have a published like sequencing or enzyme to understand that standpoint. And also missing tools in this field to understanding, the fundamentals of vitamin D. These are the challenge on the fundamental research side of it. In general, we do have a good progress. I see periodically, vitamin D research popped up from the literature. And that's showing really interesting, feedback, from these research projects. Yeah.
So those are the challenges, but often, that creates opportunities. What do you see as the opportunities working with 25-hydroxy-D3 in poultry?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It's also, very exciting to think about what's next for the, vitamin D or 25-D. One thing just recently popped up in my head, that something I think we haven't visited a lot is how vitamin D or 25-D impact on the fertility side of birds. In the human side, we know vitamin D also combined with other minerals like zinc, magnesium, can improve the male sperm quality, motility from the human side, and people already do a lot of research on that part. But when looking at the you know, chicken side. We don't really see much on this part, especially considering right now the whole fertility dropping on the breeder side. It's become a challenging and limiting the available birds we have on the market. And also the tendency, like people start thinking about are already doing it to feed the breeders and the roosters separately. So when we talk about the rooster side of it, if we can use a 25D as one of the, you know, potential additives or source to improve the sperm quality, if they can impact on the fertility side of it, that could be something to explore further. I know it's maybe not a huge market out there, but still, to understanding how the impact on it could be beneficial for the, you know, industry as a whole, and really understanding how the impact on the reproductive side of it. Yeah,
that seems to be becoming more and more of a challenge, the fertility and hatchability in breeders. So anything that we can do to help things along would probably be a big impact on the industry.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Beringer Ingelheim, health experts bring industry-leading knowledge and expertise to today's poultry producers to help them solve challenging health issues through smart, science-driven decision-making using the best resources available. Probiotech International, creating the next generation of feed and water additives to improve animal nutrition, health, and well-being. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Making life easier for animals and those who care for them is the mission of Jeffo. Strong bird performance starts with a healthy environment. Healthy environments start with Jones Hamilton. Natural Biologics is using cutting-edge science to dig deeper into the poultry health challenges you face. By gathering scientific evidence, they identify the most effective combinations of natural ingredients that improve animal health. Visit naturalbiologics.com/poultry to see the newest research in both turkeys and chickens.
It's time for our famous three.
So, just to close out our interview, we have a few fun questions for you. So what's your favorite poultry-related book or resource that you go to in your work?
Yeah, I actually have a bunch of them with me right now. I have one with read by the Jim Pasty. It's a poultry nutrition and feeding. It's a textbook for the undergrad student in his course, mm-hmm. but it's easy to read, really fun to read, has a lot of fundamentals over there. That's really my go-for book, just to read it to catch up some fundamentals I'm amazed. I also have other books like Scott's Nutrition of Chicken, very classic book, and really dive into biochemistry to show the fundamentals for the, chicken nutrition. Other books like Chicken Nutrition and Broad Nutrition Masterclass, these are more like an applied book to really understanding what people think about nutrition during the, you know, commercial production and what is important for the people. So these are really the book I like to read. And other resources is really the literature. We're doing this poultry nutrition newsletter. So we are capturing the poultry nutrition research on a monthly basis by searching and reading them. It's really having understanding, you know, what the people are doing, what is new in the world. We are developing this poultry nutrition 101 course for general public. I hope that can be a good resources for everyone who is interested to learn nutrition or understanding how nutrition world is working and the mindset of nutritionist for communication purpose. So I hope that can become a good source for everyone as well.
Yeah. So if someone's looking for the monthly updates that your lab puts out, where would they find them?
Oh, you can reach out to me. Just send me an email, like sean.chen@uga. Also, you can go to our website called poultrynutritionhub.com. You have a newsletters, poultry events, and also our contact over there. And later when we launch our Poultry Nutrition 101 course, we'll be also over there as well. So, Porsche Invent can be a good resource for your business planning as well. So,
How about non-poultry related resources or books? What do you enjoy reading?
Actually, recently, I really like watch the YouTube videos a lot. it's gave you a lot of different perspectives. I'm looking to a little bit more like a human nutrition side of it. It's very interesting to learn what they're doing over there. And also some of the instructional videos that people make on the fundamental nutrition side. I learned the instruction skills from them, how they're actually delivering a nutrition knowledge to a general public. It's very beneficial to learn how communicating with, general public as a whole. So I think that's a really good resource for me to, learn something a little bit outside of the poultry and also can help with my current work as well.
And our last question, in your opinion, what do you think is important for a person to have in order to succeed as a poultry nutritionist?
I think poultry nutrition, if we talk about this, subject, I always say the fundamental nutrition knowledge is most important, no matter which specific field you're going into, either vitamin D or other topic, it's always come back to the fundamentals to really maintain that knowledge with you all the time. That can really spark some new ideas sometimes or really make sure you're not missing some basics. So that's really important as a nutritionist. On the other side of it is a poultry industry. It's not like a huge world. It's a small, community. So maintaining relationship and communication with everyone is really important, not only for understanding what is going on, but also learning, from each other and knowing what is happening in this field. And the most updated knowledge, to be honest, is from this group. It's not really from the literature or from the video you watch. It's really happening between these conversations within this group. So I think maintaining the communication relationship is also very important to be successful in poultry nutrition, also the poultry in general.
Well, Sean, thanks very much for joining us today on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Yeah, thank you for having me here.
That concludes another episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated for future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is invaluable to us. Visit our website at www.wisenetics.com to learn all about our other podcast segments like poultry, swine, dairy, beef, feed mill, crops, and even pet food. I'm Doug Corver, and I'll see you next time on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.